Good morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to gather them up and join me over in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. We're going to look at some very interesting words beginning in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 beginning in verse 4. And it reads as follows. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. There was a farmer from Bulgaria. His name was Mihail Janko, and he is convinced that the goat that he has a very special talent. He claims it has the ability to discern a person's character. Janko claims that he can put a picture of people in front of that goat, and the goat will sure by his behavior whether or not that is a good or a bad person of good or bad character. Evidently, the goat will butt heads with the picture if it is a picture of an unpleasant or bad guy or gal. But if the goat likes the person and discerns a good character, he'll eat the picture. Janko relied upon that goat to select mates for his four daughters. So you young gals, you better look out. But don't you wish you had the gift of a goat? Don't you wish you had the ability to discern the character of good or bad people? Don't you wish you were smarter than a goat and be able to do great and wonderful things? It would be great if we could weed out good guys and bad guys, good gals and bad gals in our life. Maybe we would butt heads with a few, and maybe we'd eat the pictures of some of the others. Listen to the words that we read. They're very important. We read it here beginning in verse 4, now through verse 6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. All in all. That's an interesting phrase. All in all means in all of us. It includes you and it includes me. Now, what we are reading here in 1 Corinthians 12 specifically was written and specifically addresses a special gift that was given by the laying on of the hands of an apostle unto someone. And it had a specific purpose. And that was an apostle would come into a town and he would begin to preach, and he had no way to confirm whether or not what he was speaking was of himself or whether it was of the Lord, of the Spirit of God. And so by having the ability to perform miracles, and one of which was the ability to lay hands on someone and depart to them one of these nine very special gifts, it could confirm that he was speaking the word of the Lord. Now, people often debate today, do these gifts still exist? And I think the answer is found for us over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, just the next chapter. Look at, we call this the love chapter. Look at verses 8 through 10. It says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, when that which is in part will be done away. This was used to confirm the Word of God. And now we have the Word of God. It's in your hand, no doubt. And there's no longer a need. So the Lord's saying these special gifts are passing away. There are no apostles today to lay the hands on someone. But God still gives out gifts today. Not these special gifts, but nevertheless, to each of us, he has given us a talent, an ability, a gift, if you will. And the first lesson I think we can learn as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is simply this, that through the Holy Spirit, all believers are blessed with some kind of a spiritual gift. All believers. That's you and that's me. Your first reaction is, well, Ron, you don't know me. I don't have anything special going on about me. Forget it. There's no way I can do something extraordinary. I'm not saying you have to do something extraordinary. I'm saying God has blessed you with a talent, with an ability, with a gift. It may be an ordinary gift, but it is special to you and useful to the kingdom of the church. Paul makes it a point as we go through this 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of pointing out four possibilities that you would consider this morning. And as I looked at these, I said, I wonder what he's trying to say here. He talks about the foot and the hand and the eye and the ear. And I thought about those four types and I said, I wonder if I'm one of those. Let's start with the first, the foot. Was I a foot, I thought? You've seen my feet, they're big. And they're very, very flat. I said, why would the Spirit, why would Paul write here that maybe somebody out in the congregation is a foot? What's a foot? Well, I think feet are designed to move people. And maybe he's simply saying, the Spirit through him, that the church needs people who are go-getters, people who are willing to get up and go, people who are willing to move. And I wondered if that was the kind of talent that I had. And then I thought about the hand. There is the hand. I mean, I looked at my hand and I said, well, there's obviously nothing beautiful about my hand. I'm missing part of one of my fingers. However, I can do something you can't do, and I can teach my grandkids fractions. You can't do that. But what did Paul see in the hand that he would make mention of it? Well, did you look at the hands of people? You see they're often calloused. They're often rough, and they're often worn. Maybe the Spirit is saying through Paul that the church needs people that are workers, people who are willing to pitch in, dig in, do the hard stuff, get dirty. Am I that kind of member? Then I thought about the eye. Paul mentions the eye. How important is eyesight? Well, many people who can't see very well have great foresight. I can tell you that. But maybe the church needs people with good eyesight, people who can look out, people who can look forward, people who can look up and help those people who only look down and only look back. Maybe the church needs that kind of talent. Am I that kind of talent? I wonder. Paul talks about the ear. I have big ears. But nevertheless, I'm hard of hearing. Trisha can attest to that. She's always yelling at me, "Didn't you hear what I said?" Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But maybe he's not just talking about those that are hard of hearing. Maybe he's talking about people who are hard-hearted or hard-headed. And maybe we're all that to some degree or another. But maybe the Spirit through Paul is saying the church needs people who have an ear to the Word, who can hear the needs of other people, who can hear the Great Commission and go out and serve. Am I that kind of person? I think what Paul's simply saying in the Spirit through him is that the body, the church, just like your body, has many members, and they're all essential, all important. You have received the blessing of the Holy Spirit when you came into Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, it says. But then it says, and you will receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I challenge you today as you begin this new year to think about what you're talented with. Think about the gift that God has given you, that He has empowered you with the presence of His Spirit. There's a man whose name was Demas. Long time ago. And he used to arrange evangelistic meetings around California. He would go out and find a speaker. He would arrange for an arena of some sort. He would send out all kinds of advertising and encourage people to come. And he just felt that that's the way God had gifted him. Gifted him to be able to manage, to encourage, and to enable others so that they might spread the word. Well, thousands of people would often come to those meetings. Then back in the 1950s, someone suggested, Demas, why don't you be the preacher? He said, well, I don't think that that's the way the Lord has blessed me. But nevertheless, they convinced him to arrange his own meeting. And so he did. And he reserved a big arena and he sent out all kind of advertising. They couldn't shake that this just wasn't God's will for him. And that maybe God wouldn't bless him. Well, the night of the meeting came and come back to that story. It brings up a point, though, that I think as we read through 1 Corinthians 12, and as we think of what Demas was saying, how do you know what your spiritual gift is? What are the signs that you ought to look for? Each of us is different, no question about that, but one thing that is common with all of us, if we have a spiritual gift, sometimes you're going to find that the use of that gift stimulates you. It fulfills you. When you perform a certain task, whatever it may be, in or out of the work of the kingdom of the church, isn't there some things that just excite you, get you motivated, make you go beyond the norm and get deep into it? Maybe it's a curiosity. Maybe it is just something within you. If you think about your spiritual talent, some of you like to read the scripture. Excited about doing that. Some people like to discuss amongst others what their needs are and see if they can solve that. Is that where you are? When you begin to discover your spiritual gift, you begin to feel that you're just kind of in flow with the Spirit and the Word. It's like you find a puzzle piece and you fit it into your life and now your whole puzzle makes sense. God doesn't call us without also providing us the ability and the equipment to form that spiritual gift. That's the part of being human. That's the part of being in Christ. Without that puzzle piece, your puzzle is not complete. Some of us make the mistake of devaluing what we perceive our special gift to be. We think our gift's not good. Look at me, Ron. I mean, you know, I like helping people, but I mean, I can't do anything special. I can't perform any great thing. I mean, just the way I am. I like to communicate, and I like to help and to serve. And that's not important, we say to ourselves. Oh, yeah, we could label gifts if we wanted to label. We could say, they're the spotlight gifts. I mean, the preachers. Standing up before the audience, maybe the teacher standing up before the class. Those are the people you see, so you perceive that those are the most important gifts, but there are lots of gifts. Maybe you have a performance gift. Maybe you have the ability to sing. Maybe you have the ability to organize. Maybe you have the ability to give, not only of yourself, but of your resources and of your time. Maybe you do have the gift, as the goat did, of discernment among people. We don't want to downplay servant gifts. They're all important, as much so as a performance gift could ever be. And that's what Corinthians is saying. All of these gifts are different to different people, but they all don't serve the people. They serve the body, the church, and they're all equally important. There's an ancient legend about a king who walked one day in his garden. And as he walked into his garden, he was beginning to see that everything before him was withering and dying. And he spoke to the oak tree that was there by the gate, and he learned that the oak tree was just sick of life because it was not as tall and not as beautiful as the pine tree that was in the garden. So he went over and he talked to the pine tree and wondered why he was sad. And he said, "Listen, I can't bear precious fruit like the pear tree does. I'm not very important." And he walked over to the pear tree, and the pear tree was complaining because he didn't have the beautiful odor of the spruce. And everywhere he walked within his garden, all he had was gloomy voices. Until he looked down, and there was a little pansy flower. Oh, it was blooming and bright. And he walked over to the pansy and he said, "How are you doing, my little flower? I'm glad to find at least one thing in my garden that is happy today." The little pansy looked up to the king and says, "Your Majesty, I know I'm of small account, but I decided that you wanted a pansy when you planted me. Had you wanted an oak or a pear tree, you would have put that in my place. But you put me here, and so I am determined to be the best flower that I could be." Here's a motto I want you to remember for this new year. Someone did record it years ago for their goal for that coming year. And I challenge you to make it the goal for you. I do not want to spend this year doing that which someone else does better while I can do something no one else does as well. Hear that again. I do not want to spend this year doing that which someone else does better while I can do something that no one else does as well. There's a reason God made you and gave you your gift, whatever it may be. There's an awesome purpose behind your abilities. And the second point we need to consider this morning from 1 Corinthians 12 is this: our gifts are a part of the interdependence of the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to use each other. We need to encourage each other's gifts so that we can grow spiritually together as the body of Christ. Think about it. That's easily hard to do because we are very much in a "it's all about me" society. We're not really wanting to be interdependent with anyone else. There's a number of years ago, there was an interesting study of the NBA basketball. Some of you are sports fans. This took place back in the 1990s. In the middle of that, they were having a problem, the NBA. They were looking at all statistics over the last 10 years, from the 1980s to the 1990s. And if you remember the 1990s, those are booming years. Those are the Jordan years. Those are all the mighty players. And they began to analyze the statistics over the past 10 years, and they saw that scoring was going down. Yet they had super players. And as they began to study it very close, they determined that they now had teams that no longer wanted to pass the ball to somebody else. Ball hogs, we used to call them when we were in high school. And as a result, yes, all of the people that were coming into the arenas to see the teams were no longer wanting to see, oh, for example, you know, some great, the Bulls playing, you know, the Miami Heat, you know. They wanted to see a star versus another star. NBA started working on that. Y'all who are fans of the Spurs very much saw that working itself out in the last 20 years. Though great players, they shared and passed the ball. And those who learned to do it won more than those who only had a superstar. Maybe that's what the church is doing. Sometimes we get into the me deal. We forget that the church is the ultimate team. And if we had all point guards, we're not going to win anything. We're going to need a player in every part of the stadium, every part of the arena, every part on the basketball floor, so to speak. We're going to make the church complete. There's a problem here. Some of us just don't want to move out of our comfort zone. We like to hang around with people who are like us. We hang around the people that are the same profession, they're the same race, they're from our neighborhood, they, you know, the same kind of job that we do, and we really don't want to get out of our comfort zone. And we can find value in people that are like us, no question about it. Just think what you can find if you reach beyond your comfort zone and see the value in people everywhere. I made this comment, and I think it's very appropriate this morning, especially amongst us who are trying the same. There's a difference, he said, between harmony and unison. You see, harmony is derived from two different notes that blend together. And unison is just the same note all being sung or played at the same time. Which is more appealing? Harmony? Or unison? What the church needs to realize is we don't want unity and unison in its solo sense. We want harmony. We want all the different abilities and talents and gifts to be utilized to blend together to make a beautiful song. Final thought this morning. And that is, our spiritual gifts are what empower the church. You still have your Bibles with you. Turn over, if you would, with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Just a few verses beginning in verse 10. 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, I know my limitations. And we forget that God is the one empowering. Maybe our gift is the kindling wood, but I can tell you, my friends, the fire is the Spirit. Earlier in this century, there was an evangelist that closed his sermon with an appeal for all his hearers to surrender themselves to Christ, just as we do every once in a while. There were a few that came forward, and among those that came forward that day was a woman known to have great wealth, well-known in social circles, in the community in which. But as she came forward, she asked the minister if she could say a word. He was a little surprised. This is what she said. I want to tell you why I came forward tonight. It was not because of the excellent sermon delivered by the preacher, but because of the sermon that I have seen from day to day in the life of this little woman sitting near me. Her hands are disfigured, hardened by the daily toil. The burdens of years have stooped her frame. She is just a humble washerwoman. For a number of years, she has served my home, but in all of this time, her life has been above even the slightest reproach. Not one unkind word has passed her lips. Not one frown have I seen upon her brow. Not once has she become impatient, although she might have found many excuses for doing so. Under the most trying conditions, she has manifested a sweet Christian spirit. Quietly, she has done countless little acts of love for others. I'm sorry to say, but I have sneered at her simple faith and taunted her for her childlike trust in God. But when trouble came to my home, when my little girl was snatched from me by the cruel hand of death, it was this humble child of God who brought the first ray of hope to my troubled soul. There is a sweet magnetism about her consistent life that has drawn me to the Savior, and there is a longing in my heart to love and to follow her Master. Preacher was touched by that. And he asked the little lady that was the washerwoman to come forward. And he turned to the audience and he says, I want to introduce you to the real preacher tonight. A humble washerwoman. What a phrase. But she used her spiritual gifts, seemingly unimportant to the world, but ever present and ever visible by the lady to whom she served. And she brought that light of Christ into that woman's heart and surely into many others. You can do that. You can be that lady. You can be that man. The church will never reach its full potential. It will never reach its full power without all of its members using the gifts that they have. Remember Demas? He did set up that entertainment, that evangelistic meeting. And the night came, and sure enough, no one showed up. There was Demas, there was a few of his friends, four arena custodians that were there. He was so discouraged. He couldn't even bring himself to stand up and speak to the meager group that was there, ready to sweep the arena. But amongst his friends was a little lady, their housekeeper. Her name was Lottie Jefferson. And Lottie said, can I speak? I've always wanted to stand on a stage in a big arena like this and say something. He says, sure, why not? So she climbed the steps and went to the podium and lifted the microphone, and she just began to tell her story of her life, story of her work with the Lord. And lo and behold, one of those janitors there came forward with tears in his eyes, touched by what she said. Lottie never dreamed she could be a speaker. Wasn't even that good at it. But oh, she was so good in witnessing and sharing her story. Maybe that's you. Don't sell yourself short. Because the gift that you have and the use that you put it to, it's not just good for you. It's good for the body of the church. The Spirit empowers each of us. And I just want you to begin this year by taking a step back and looking in the mirror and saying, what can I do this year to help the body of Christ? We're going to be looking at organizations here in the very near future, things to be done and needs for people to do them. And I can tell you that if you'll utilize your gift where it can be used for the body of Christ, you will be blessed, as well as others. Church needs you, and you need the church And if you haven't become a part of the body of Christ, there's no better time than today. He calls you, as He always does, through faith, repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that He is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, by being immersed so that you can be in the one body, as the Scripture said, washing your sins away, rising to work in the kingdom. Come if you will as we stand here.